please be seated. Good to see all of you here this day. Well, before we begin, let me say happy Father's Day to all of you fathers here this day. And men, let me exhort you to continue to be the type of father that God would have you to be all of your days. May you glorify God in this wonderful calling of being a father. And although the message for today is not directly for you men, I trust that you will be encouraged nonetheless from it. And so, as we take one last week off our studies in the book of Romans, I invite you to please turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46, having considered a message last week specifically to the youth in our midst, we come for today to take up the theme of the God of the Elderly, subtitled A Sermon for Seniors. A Sermon for Seniors. Notice with me what we read in our Bibles, Isaiah 46 at verse 4, our passage for today. God says through the prophet Isaiah to us, his people, Isaiah 46 at verse 4, God says, even to your old age I am he, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. Well, brethren, let's once again pray and ask the Lord's blessings on our time. Let's pray. Our great and glorious God, we're so thankful that we can gather here this day in your presence to worship you, to bless your wonderful name. We thank you, O God, that for many in this room, you have made us your own people, the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are thankful, O God, for the wonderful salvific work which you have wrought in our hearts by grace. We thank you, O God, because we know that salvation is not of the one who wills nor of the one who runs, but of God who shows mercy. And we thank you, O great God, for showing mercy to the likes of us. We're thankful, O God, that you are no respecter of persons, but that out of every tribe, nation, tongue, and kindred, you will have a people who blesses your most wonderful name. And Father, we bless your name this day. We thank you that we can call you our Father who is in heaven. And Father, as we come to your word this day, we're asking for fresh help from on high. We're asking for a fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost sent down from above. O God, that you will not leave us to ourselves, but that you would come and invade this place with your presence and power. O God, as the psalmist said, we look for you in the sanctuary that we might see your glory and power. And so manifest these things to us this day. We ask and pray all of these things in that exalted name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It was the founding pastor of our church named Sherwood Becker who famously said that getting old ain't for wimps. Now, when I first heard that statement by our dear brother in my late 30s, it didn't really make too much of an impact upon me. However, now in my early 50s, it most surely does. Now, brethren, please listen to me when I say to all of you, this day, once again, in the words of Sherwood Becker, getting old ain't for wimps. Becoming old is difficult. Bad knees, bad backs, aches and pains, memory loss, and gray hairs all show us that the end is drawing nigh. It shows us that, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, that all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass which fades away. And it shows us, according to James chapter 4, that despite all that you and I do to maintain good health, as we all should seek to do, nevertheless, life is but a vapor that appears for a moment and then vanishes away. Now, of course, there will always be exceptions to the rule, right? There will always be those among us who will show little signs of aging. Yes, there will be those who will be able to say with Moses in their old age in Deuteronomy chapter 34 that their eyes have not failed and their natural vigor has not diminished. Ah, but for most of us here in this place, this will not be the case. No, for most of us, old age will typically bring physical decline so that our hearing and our taste buds will go, etc., so that many of us will be like Barzillai, who I mentioned last week, who said to David in 2 Samuel chapter 19, "I am today 80 years old, and can I taste what I eat, or can I hear what your servants sing, David, whether they are young men or young women?" Well, having said all of these things, perhaps you're sitting here this day and you say, "Pastor Ventura, all of this does not sound too encouraging to me." You say, "I'm a young person and all of this sounds quite depressing." Well, dear ones here this day, I say, please don't be depressed at all. Actually, I say, take comfort. And this is because your God says to you in our passage for this day that although you will decline physically on many levels as you get older, nonetheless, God says to you through the prophet Isaiah, "Even to your old age, I am He. And even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and I will deliver you." Now, dear ones here this morning, this is good news to be sure. It is glorious news indeed, for it tells us who are the true people of God that God Himself will be with us and will give us a hope in the latter days. It tells us that although physical weakness will be our lot, nevertheless, because God has covenanted Himself to be with us even to the very last day, you and I will know good days in the days ahead. We will know God's blessings, His kindness, and His sustaining grace, so that we who are the people of God will in fact be able to say with the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that we do not lose heart. For even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Well, because getting older is that which will happen to each and every one of us in this place, we all need to take special heed to the message for today. You see, church, it doesn't matter if you're a young or old, if we're married or single, etc. Since we're all going to age, there is a word for each and every one of us here this day from God in our passage in view. Now, just to give you some broad context here concerning our passage, you should note that just like the Bible itself, which contains 66 books, the same is also true for the book of Isaiah. Therefore, in one sense, we could say that the book of Isaiah is like a miniature Bible, with the first 39 chapters of it representing the Old Testament, which speaks much about the judgment of God upon the wicked, and then the last 27 chapters of this book being like the New Testament, which speaks much about hope in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, specifically in the book of Isaiah, beginning in chapter 40, as most of you will know, God says to the prophet to speak comfort to His people. He says to Isaiah to speak encouragement to them, and this is exactly what he begins to do, and this especially by speaking about Jesus Christ the Messiah, the servant of the Lord who was to come, who in love and in grace would substitute himself for his believing people on the cross of Calvary in order to reconcile them to God. As a matter of fact, in the second half of this book, in Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah, the evangelical prophet, speaks so plainly about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ that one would almost have to be blind not to see Him. I mean, Isaiah writes about Jesus as if He were there at Calvary that day recording the events of His death in our place. Thus He tells us, for example, in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 12, that the Lord Jesus Christ would bear the sins of many. I just pause to say, and blessed be God that Jesus Christ fulfilled that very text in Isaiah chapter 53, and He has bore the sin of many. He, in His astounding grace, has borne the sin of His people. Well, because Isaiah's language is so plain, especially in chapter 53. Sadly, today, in Jewish synagogues, Christ-rejecting Jews leave out the reading of Isaiah chapter 53 in their scripture readings. Like we have in our own services, we obey the Apostle Paul when he says, give yourselves to the reading of scripture. We do that here. We read the scriptures consecutively, morning and evening. Well, in the synagogue, that's a practice that continues. But the Christ-rejecting Jews in our day, they don't read Isaiah chapter 53. This is the case. Thus, unfortunately, the people who sit in synagogues are left in utter darkness as to who their Savior is and what He has done for people like them. Well, even though this is the case, blessed be God, the thousands of Jews, nonetheless, throughout the centuries, have believed Isaiah's report. You know Isaiah 53:1, who has believed our report? Well, many Jews, by God's doing, have believed Isaiah's report, and this to the saving of their souls. Yes, myriads of Jews, as we've been considering in Romans chapter 11 in recent days, the remnant among them have put their faith in Jesus Christ alone for life and salvation. Jesus Christ, of whom Isaiah describes in chapter 6 of his book as the wonderful counselor and mighty God. Glory be to His name. Well, for those Jewish people who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, along with everyone else in the world who has done this, our passage for today is a great truth for their encouragement, and yes, for your encouragement here this day. It's a tremendous truth which warmly expresses the words of the hymn writer, which we just sang together when, in speaking of God, the hymn writer says, even down to old age, all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And then when gray hairs shall their temple adorn, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born. And so, as we come then to our verse for this morning, which highlights this glorious truth to us, I ask you please to note with me in your Bibles, first in 4a, the promise stated. The promise stated here, as God speaks to His people who know Him through Christ, He says, even to your old age, I am He. And even to gray hairs, I will carry you. Now, what do we see in these opening words here? But that God tells us straightway that He's not only the God of the young Christian, as we considered it last week, no, nor is He only the God of the middle-aged Christian, no, but rather He is the God of believers throughout every single stage of their lives, even to the very end. Yes, dear ones here this day, from the spiritual womb to the literal tomb, God is our God. Glory be to His name. Now we do well to ask, why is this the case? Why is it that the Lord our God is committed to us in Christ, come what may? Well, the simple answer is that this is the case because of His unchanging character and His promises to us who are the people of God. You see, church, this is so because unlike us who are always changing, the Lord our God changes not. We're changing. We're aging. Things are not working the way they used to work. But this is not so with God. No, all of this is so with the Lord, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Just as the writer of Hebrews describes our Lord Jesus Christ to us in Hebrews chapter 13. And so, you see, even though, as believers, we will change as we age, this will never be the case concerning our God. No, our ageless God will continue to support us even to our very last breath before He takes us to Himself in glory. And He will continue to give us strength until we get to glory. Thus, Isaiah says to us by way of encouragement in Isaiah chapter 40, and almost chiding the old covenant people, "Have you not known," he says, "have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, He neither faints nor is weary, and He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength." Well, what a glorious fact this is about our wonderful God, right? Yes, praise the Lord that our God is unchanging in His person and in His promises, such as we have stated in our passage for today. Therefore, friends, you and I who are Christians can completely trust Him. We can completely rest and rely on His person and His promises all of our days, which are always yes and amen in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now again, this is good news, especially for those among us here this day who are older. In fact, this is great news for each and every one of us who are Christians in this place. And this is because it reminds us that although old age can be difficult and at times lonely, etc., the unchanging character of our God is to be our great comfort. Now, concerning this aspect of God's character, this is exactly what's spoken of in the beginning of our verse in view. Look again at the words of our passage. God, speaking through the prophet Isaiah, says to us here, look at it, "Even to your old age, I am He." Even, God says, just in case you were wondering, even to this point in your life, the word "even" repeated several times in the passage. You're wondering about your old age? You're wondering what it will be like? Even to your old age. God highlights something to us. What is it? His unchangeable character, even to your old age. Note the language again. I am He. Now this "I am He" statement by the Lord our God is especially important for us to take note of. And it takes us back to Moses' encounter with God in Exodus chapter 3. When Moses asked God, "What is your name?" To which God replied, saying, "I am." What is your name? He says, "I am who I am." And brethren, this name for God shows us what I've been highlighting already, namely that our God is an eternal present. He is an eternal present. It shows us that despite how things might look or feel or seem in our own lives, our God is not the God who was, no. Our God is not some has been, no. Rather, He's the God who, although many things in our lives will continue to change, He Himself always remains the same. He always is perpetual in His person, which means that His love for us in the Lord Jesus Christ will never wane. It means that His concern and His care for us who are in union with Jesus will never diminish. For in giving Himself the name, I am, He shows us plainly that His goodness will continue with us all of our days. Can anyone say amen? I am is His self-designation. It's His self-identification. And thus we could believe Him for all that He's told us about Himself and all that He will do for us. And thus, brethren, we could regularly call out to Him in prayer, knowing that His name reveals to you and I who are Christians His very nature, and it symbolizes all that He does. Now, of course, this is why our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the eternal God, did not hesitate to declare Himself to be the eternal God, saying to the Jews, for example, in John chapter 8, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, ego eimi." Literally, "I myself am He." Well, as most of you know, I'm sure, that "I am" statement made by the Lord Jesus Christ to the Jews who were before Him did not go over too well with the Jews. As a matter of fact, we're told that at this statement of Christ, they took up stones to kill Him. And so we ask, why would they do this? Well, they did it because they knew quite plainly that Jesus had just made the most exalted and exclusive claim to deity. You see, unlike the Jehovah Witnesses in our day and others who say that Jesus never claimed to be God, the Jews in Jesus' day knew that He in fact just claimed to be Jehovah incarnate. And thus, this is why, of course, they picked up stones to kill Him. They got it. One of the reasons you could stone someone at that time in Jesus' day was for claiming to be God. They knew that He did this. Throughout the Gospels, "You being a man, make yourself equal with God." You say, "Jesus, what are You doing? Why are You making yourself equal with God?" Answer, "Because I am God. I am Jehovah incarnate." Well, again, because the Jews rejected this, they sought to stone the Lord Jesus Christ. They, like many others in our day, were unwilling to humbly submit to the fact that the One who was standing before them was God in the flesh. We talked about it this morning in the Bible study hour. The Logos became Sarkos. The eternal Word became flesh. God became a man. Of course, this is why Paul could say when writing to Timothy that great is the mystery of godliness. What is it, Paul? God was manifest in the flesh. He says, without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. What is it, Paul? God was manifested in the flesh. Paul says, no controversy here. God was manifest in the flesh. Well, even though the Jehovah Witnesses and others reject the plain truth of the Bible, for us who believe our Bibles, for us who believe all that Holy Scripture says, this is who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He is, according to our own London Baptist Confession of Faith, very God and yet very man, yet one Christ, the only mediator between God and man. Well, as the Lord continues to encourage us in our verse in view, with the fact that He is a very present help for our times of need, even to our old age and gray hairs. It's striking to note here, look at the passage, that the main thing which He highlights to us in the first part of the verse, that He would do for us, look at the language, is that He would carry us. That He would carry us. Look again at the words, even to your old age, I am He, and even to gray hairs, I will carry you. Now we might wonder, why is it that God says to us that He will carry us? Out of all the things that He could have said, why I will carry you? Well, brethren, truth be told, some of us are in need of carrying. Right? Some of us, as we get older, we need this kind of support. For we will be like Jacob, of whom we're told in Hebrews chapter 11, that when he was old and dying and worshiping God, what did he do? He leaned upon a staff. He worshiped God how? Leaning upon a staff. Now, having said this, as I think about this language here in our verse, I think there's something else in the immediate context of these words, which you and I need to get so that we can truly understand why it is that God said here in this context that the main thing that He would do when we get older and get gray hairs and we're weak is that He would carry us. And so, as you may know, in this chapter of Isaiah, the prophet has spent much time comparing the true and living God to the false pagan idols of the nations. And in doing this, he has shown us that there's absolutely no comparison between the two. That's very clear in this chapter. This is the case, and just so that we could see it ourselves, let's just take a moment and read this together, just for a few moments together, picking up in verse 1 of this chapter, and I'll read to verse 4 in your hearing. Isaiah 46, picking up at verse 1, just to get a sense for what I'm saying, the prophet writes, Bel bows down, Nebo stoops, God speaking through him. Their idols were on the beast and on the cattle. Your carriages were heavily loaded. Listen to the words. A burden to the weary beast. They stoop. They bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but have themselves gone into captivity. God says, verse 3, Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been, look at the words, upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb. Even to your old age I am he, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear. Even I will carry, and will deliver you. And so he asked the question, what's the point that the Almighty God is making to us here in our passage? Well, brethren, it is that when the people went astray and worshiped the handmade idols of Bel and Nebo, they were left to carry those idols around. And to be sure, it was a great burden for them, whether they picked them up themselves or they threw them onto the cart. It was a real burden for them to carry their idols. Ah, but church, what God is saying to you and I here who are Christians this day, that in contrast to that scenario, unlike the false gods who had to be carried by their worshipers, the God of the Bible carries those who worship Him. It's a heavy burden, isn't it? Yeah, it sure is. But God says to us here that He will be the one who upholds us, even until our hairs are gray or nay. And this is because the God of the Bible is our great burden bearer. You had to carry those idols. God says, but I'm going to carry you. And this is because verse 9 tells us in this chapter that God is God, and besides Him, there is no other. They've got arms on their deity. The deities have arms, but they can't carry. They got eyes, but they can't see. They got feet, but they can't walk. But our God says, because I'm the true and living God, I will carry you all of your days. Well, what a wonderful God He is. Yes, whereas the false gods had to be carried, God carries us. Whereas men had to bear gods themselves, our God bears us to our very last day. And this is because underneath are the everlasting arms. And so, having stated this wonderful promise in the first part of the verse, it's now restated and expanded in 4b. Look again at the words in your Bibles. God says, through the prophet, I have made, that is, made you, and I will bear, that is, bear you. He says, even I, the sense in the original language, being, even I myself will carry, and, notice the addition, will deliver you. Will deliver you. Now what a great promise this is, right? I mean, not only does God create us, and not only does He carry us, but the next promise of our verse is that God will deliver us. Well, the point is, brethren, our God promises to rescue us who are believers all of our days from all of our foes. Thus He says to us, for example, in Ezekiel chapter 36, that as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep and deliver them. To use the words of the psalmist in Psalm 34 and verse 19, there the psalmist says that although many are the afflictions of the righteous, the Lord delivers him out of them all. And so, here it is, dear brothers and sisters, gathered together this day. Here is our great confidence and expectation, even to our old age. You see, even though at times believers might be forgotten by some, family members or otherwise, brethren, the Lord God says that He will never do this. According to our passage for today, Isaiah 46 and verse 4, we see in fact that God is the God of the elderly. We see that He is the God of the aged. Well, as I begin then to wind down some of what we've been considering for today, I want to do so by making several applications. And the first application that I want to make goes to all of us here as a local congregation. I begin by speaking to us, Grace Community Baptist Church. And dear ones, what I want to say is simply this, that since the Lord our God cares so much for the elderly, you and I must always be sure that we are treating the aged in our midst with great love, care, respect, and kindness all of our days. Again, you know, for those of you who were here last week, this is the B side, if you will, of what we considered last week together. Last week was know your Creator in the days of your youth. And so a sermon was preached to the youth exclusively, because sometimes the youth are left out. Well, the B side is a message for those who are elderly in our midst, because sometimes the elderly are left out of the preaching and teaching of God's Word. And so as we bring it to make it very practical, what do we say firstly? For us who are the people of God in this church, you and I must make sure that the elderly are always respected, loved, and cared for, and shown much kindness. You see, brethren, even though in our day it's becoming more and more popular to despise the elderly, as Christians, this is never to be true of us. As a matter of fact, God is so concerned with this matter that He writes in His own law, saying to us in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32, that you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God, for I am the Lord. That's how concerned God is that we would do this. And so, brethren, may this always be so for all of us in this place. Yes, may it be that every single older saint in this church will feel greatly loved, greatly cherished, and greatly respected all of their days, for this is how our God would have us to treat them. But secondly, then, let me speak directly to those of you here this day who are elderly in our midst, and say to you, dear ones, first and foremost, that you must be sure that you are prepared to die. To die. You see, friends, death is closer to your door this day than it's ever been before. And so I lovingly exhort you, my dear older brethren. I shouldn't look at anybody because then they'll feel bad. Let me lovingly exhort you to be sure this day that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you belong to Jesus and Jesus belongs to you. Let me lovingly exhort you to be sure that you have been born again with the evidence of a transformed life. A life that loves Christ. A life that hates your sin. A life that is trusting in Jesus alone as the only ground of your acceptance with God. I begin here, my dear older ones. I've got other things to say, but this is where we must start. Make sure this very day that you know Christ. Make sure that you've been born again. Make sure that your hope is only in Him who loved you and gave Himself for you. But secondly, if in fact you've truly been saved with the evidence of a transformed life, then you, beloved, must be sure that as you get older, you are maintaining a close spiritual watch over your spiritual condition. That you're keeping a watch over your spiritual state. You see, my dear elderly brethren in this place, it's not enough just to begin well in the Christian life. No, you must end well in the Christian life. You don't want to be like a Solomon of whom we're told in 1 Kings chapter 11 that when he was old, his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God. And so again I say, dear older saint, listen carefully. Keep a close watch on your spiritual state. Keep close to God in prayer, close to God in His Word, and close to God in your church attendance. So that according to the psalmist, as we read earlier in Psalm 92, you will flourish in the courts of your God and you will still bear fruit in your old age. Thirdly then, to those of you here who are elderly in our midst, you must be sure that as you get older, you are still seeking to be useful for Jesus. This is not just something for the younger folks, no, or the middle-aged folks, no. It's something for each and every one of us who know the Lord. My dear brethren, remember that along with other things, you can still pray. You could still preach to the lost. You could still encourage the saints. And you could still be an example to them in your old age. You can pray, perhaps in ways that you've never prayed before, because you have more time. Pray for the brethren. Get the notes for the prayer meeting. Be at the prayer meeting. Pray for the deacons. Pray for the pastors. Oh, my dear older friends, I say pray, pray, and keep praying. Secondly, you can preach. Preach to the lost in the world. You go out, you're in various places. Share the gospel. Tell people that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Preach to the lost in the world. Preach to those who are lost in your family. Your children, your grandchildren. Tell them about the doing and the dying and the rising of Jesus Christ the Lord. Tell them that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. Tell them that if they repent of their sins and believe on Christ alone for life and salvation, they will be saved in an instant. My dear older saint, preach Christ. Further, you can encourage the people of God in this place. Encourage them in their walk with Jesus. Encourage them to press on in their faith, showing them that serving Christ is well worth it. Show them that Christ is no hard taskmaster. No, but that He's the lovely Savior who carries His people all of their days. He leads them as the Good Shepherd. He guides and sustains them. Oh, the saints, speak about all that the Lord has done for you. Lo, these many years. And then finally, my dear older saints, you can be an example to the people of God in this place, showing them that by the grace of God, when saints get older, that doesn't make them grumpy, no. Rather, it makes them godly, gentle, and full of grace. They will be sappy in the house of the Lord our God. You've had all these years with the Holy Ghost producing in you the fruit of the Spirit. Show them there's a great difference between grumpy old men and grumpy old women always complaining about this thing and that thing versus the Christian who knows, according to Paul, that he or she is to do all things without complaining. Who knows, according to Paul, that no unwholesome word is to proceed out of your mouth, but that which is for the building up of others. Show your younger brethren by example that what God says in His Word is true. And that He, having begun a good work in us, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so, my dear older folks here this day, may God help you in these regards. May God produce all of these wonderful virtues in your life by His amazing grace. And so, as I close for today, I want to do so by speaking to any here this day who are not elderly, or maybe you are, but most importantly, you're not a true Christian. To you who are not saved, simply stated, what can I say to you, my dear friend, but simply this: whether you like it or not, you're getting older. You're getting older. And you're getting closer to the time when you will stand before God in judgment. It's happening. Time is inching you forward to the judgment seat of Christ. Thus, every beat of your heart is the drumbeat of your own funeral march. Time is pushing you forward to the day of judgment. And because this is so, I have one simple question to ask you. What is your relationship with Jesus like? You see, when you stand before God, the Bible says in that day the books will be open. It says that we will be judged out of the books. All of our deeds will be laid bare before God. God with whom we have to do. And so in that day, there's only going to be one thing that matters. And it's this: your relationship to Jesus. Not that you visited the church, not that you were baptized, not that you're a member here. One thing. One thing and one thing only. Do you know Jesus Christ in truth? Have you been born of His Spirit? Is He in you and are you in Him? Have you put your faith in His accomplished work on the cross when 2,000 years ago He made a full and final and free atonement to God for the sins of sinners? He satisfied the wrath of God there at Calvary in the place of the guilty. He cried out saying, "It is done. It stands accomplished." And all who turn from their sins and put their faith in His accomplished work are saved. They're justified in the courtroom of God. Jesus enters into a relationship with them. They are in union with each other. And so again, for those of you here this day who are not true Christians, I ask, are you ready to face God? You don't know when you will breathe your last breath. You don't know if it will be today. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You have an appointment with God. An appointment, by the way, which you will keep. And because you don't know when that day is, today is the day of your salvation. God has been so gracious to you to allow you to live all of these years on His green earth. But you've sinned against God. You've lied and you've stolen and you've blasphemed His name countless times. You've broken His law. And the Bible says whoever keeps all of the commandments perfect yet stumbles in one point is guilty of them all. My friend, you're a lawbreaker. And the Bible says the soul that sins, it will surely die. It's bad news. But the good news is, this moment, right here, is not the day of judgment, it's the day of grace. It's the day of mercy. It's the day of forgiveness. It's the day of pardon. It's the day when the Lord Jesus Christ will receive you with open arms if you come to Him by faith and by faith alone. And so my prayer is that some of you here this day would do that very thing. That you will divorce your sins and be married to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith alone, to the saving of your never dying soul. May God grant that this would be so even this day. May God go after some of you in this place and make you to be the people of God. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are very thankful that You have taught us in Your Word about Your heart for the elderly and what our heart should be in return. We're grateful, Lord, that all of the days of Your people are marked out by You. And You have promised to be with them, to be their God as they are Your people. And I pray, O God, that You would encourage, especially those who are older among us this day with this truth. Sometimes they may not see it. Sometimes they may not feel it. But You've told us in Your Word, O God, that the just shall live by faith. Help them, O God, to believe You for all of these glorious things which You tell us in Your Word. Bless Your people, O God. Might Your richest benedictions rest upon them even this day. We pray and ask these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.